Your Bibles this morning to 1 Samuel chapter 23. 1 Samuel chapter 23. It's in the Old Testament, in the first half of your Bible, and a little ways back. 1 Samuel chapter 23. On September 11th, 2001, the police, fire, and rescue workers of New York City faced what is perhaps and arguably the biggest crisis that we ever had on our own American soil. And just as my father's generation can tell you exactly where they were when John F. Kennedy, President Kennedy, was assassinated, so I think all of us will be able to tell our kids and our grandkids where we were on that day. That day when terrorists hijacked airplanes, crashed them into the Pentagon, into the field in Pennsylvania, and into the World Trade Center, sending those two twin towers eventually crumbling to the ground. But you know something? The loss of those buildings cannot compare to the loss of life that took place on that day. And many of the lives that were lost were rescue workers who went into that building after the planes had already hit. Why did they do it? Why did they do it? You may say, well, it was their duty to the people. And it was their duty to which they had committed in order to do it. Well, there's no question that it was their duty. But you know, duty often gives way to self-preservation. And there was something more that gave them the willingness and the courage to rush into those burning towers and try to save some lives. And I want to present today that, first of all, I think one of the things that got them to do it was the serious need. The serious need. You see, the buildings were burning. People's lives were at stake. People whose wives and husbands were at home. People whose children were at school that day. People who had others counting on them, whose families needed them. And so the rescue workers went into that building because they saw the serious need. Secondly, I think they had a sensitive awareness. Those in the fire stations heard the alarms and responded. The policeman on duty got the dispatch call. The on-call people looked at that cell phone and knew they were being summoned to duty. And they answered that call. And they went. They had a sensitive awareness. They knew that every life rescued was of incredible value. They were aware that their training made them the ones that were most likely to be able to accomplish and effect a rescue because of the training that they had. They had that sensitive awareness. And then I believe that they went back into those buildings because they had sacrificial action. Sacrificial action. Arriving on the scene, it was obvious to anybody that something horrible had happened. Fuselage of a plane sticking out of a building. But despite the danger, they went in to rescue anybody they could. They risked their lives, and many of them gave their lives. Now notice, I didn't say that they lost their lives. There's a difference. They gave their lives. Now people, some others working in the towers lost their lives. But those rescue workers gave their lives. It's been 10 years. I can't believe it's been 10 years already. May we not forget. Now, although many of the episodes in the Bible are farther removed than 10 years, I want you to know they're not any less real. They're not just Bible stories. They're Bible episodes. They actually happened. And here in 1 Samuel chapter 23, the city is not New York. It is a city called Keilah. The terrorists are not Muslims. They're Philistines. And the lives in jeopardy are not Americans. They're Israelites. And the one involved is the man that we know as David. Later to become King David, but now the sweet psalmist of Israel, David who killed Goliath, is out in hiding because the king of Israel, King Saul, is out to get him. And David, just like the rescue workers in 9/11, David sees, first of all, the serious need. The serious need. Look down with me at verse number 1. And they told David, saying, "Behold, the Philistines fight against Keilah, and they robbed the threshing floors. The Philistines were a marauding band from across the Mediterranean Sea, and their motive here was greed. They were robbing the threshing floors. This is where the wheat was threshed out and the food was produced for the city, and they were stealing the food, and they meant business. They weren't going to take no for an answer, and it was going to be an ugly battle. The attack of Keilah was not part of a just war. God had given all that land to the nation of Israel. The Philistines were the unjust invaders. And now the citizens of Keilah faced a serious need. Their food supply was in jeopardy. Their families were in jeopardy. Their lives were in jeopardy. And the anatomy of a rescue always begins with a serious need. A serious need. Next we see a sensitive awareness. Look down at verse number 2. Therefore David inquired of the Lord, saying, "Shall I go and smite these Philistines?" And the Lord said unto David, "Go and smite the Philistines and save Keilah." You know, usually when the Lord lets us find out about a serious need, it's because He wants us to do something about it. You know, that's true. How horrible it would be, physically speaking, to drive by somebody's house at night and see some flames and not do anything about it. Not call 911 and bang on their door and wake them up and get them out of the house. Okay? There's a serious need. There needs to be a sensitive awareness. And usually when there's a need that the Lord lets us find out about, it's because He wants us to do something about it. Now, I notice in verse 2, no matter how urgent the need, there's always some time for prayer. Well, maybe it's a prayer on the run, but there's always some time for prayer. And David goes before the Lord and says, "I feel for these people. I've got this sense of awareness. What can I do? Shall I go and smite the Philistines?" David also was not the one obligated or obliged to do it. King Saul was supposed to be protecting his people. But King Saul was too busy trying to get revenge on David. And David could have said, "It's not my problem." Too often, we become aware of a serious need, but we pass it off by saying, "Well, it's not really my responsibility. That's somebody else's job. We'll let them take care of that." But the anatomy of a rescue requires a sensitive awareness. And then lastly, a rescue cannot be accomplished without sacrificial action. Sacrificial action. Look down at verse 3. David's men said unto him, "Behold, we be afraid here in Judah. How much more then if we come to Keilah against the armies of the Philistines?" They were afraid not only because of the Philistines, but because of King Saul and his men trying to hunt them down. Verse 4, then David inquired of the Lord yet again. And the Lord answered him and said, "Arise, go down to Keilah, for I will deliver the Philistines into thine hand." So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines, and brought away their cattle and smote them with a great slaughter. So David saved the inhabitants of Keilah. Oh, how much is packed into that little phrase in verse 5 where it says, "So David and his men went to Keilah and fought with the Philistines." It just says it matter-of-factly, but think about it. They risked their personal safety with these Philistines. They risked danger from King Saul. And worse than that, later on in the passage, they risked a lack of gratefulness from the very people that they rescued. Look down with me at verse number 10. Then said David, "O Lord God of Israel, thy servant has certainly heard that Saul seeketh to come to Keilah to destroy the city for my sake. Will the men of Keilah deliver me up into his hand? Will Saul come down as thy servant hath said? O Lord God of Israel, I beseech thee, tell thy servant." And the Lord said, "He will come down." Then said David, "Will the men of Keilah deliver me and my men into the hand of Saul?" And the Lord said, "They will deliver thee up." Think about that. Here, David comes out of hiding. He rescues them from the Philistines. And then they're going to turn him in to King Saul. You think they'd say, "Hey, David, you and your men, you saved our life. We'll do anything for you." Maybe some of you rescue workers had people say, "You saved my life, what can I do for you?" Chief Taft told us about someone who was clinically dead and then brought back by our emergency service workers, and they came by the facility on Friday, you say? Just 2 days ago, came by. Wow, and expressed gratitude. I don't know if he said, "I'll do anything you want," but he expressed gratitude. Hey, listen, these men of Kiowa should have had some gratitude. And one of the greatest risks that you take if you get involved in any kind of rescue work, which I'm going to talk about today, is the hurt that comes from a lack of gratitude. And that's why it's so important that we had this service today, to make sure that we are grateful for the people that sacrificed for us and put their life on the line. But David had sacrificial action. He wasn't worried about himself and his danger. Hardly any hurt hurts worse than ungratefulness. Think about the parent with a wayward child. Nothing hurts worse than that child who you love and you brought up, and they're not doing right by you as a parent. And young person, I got some teenagers in here today, make sure you're not that rebellious person. Because nothing hurts worse than a lack of gratefulness. But no rescue is accomplished without sacrificial action. Now, two applications today. First of all, number one, daily rescues are needed. Daily rescues are needed. Christian friend, let me talk to you today. There are people and families all across Northport that need a spiritual rescue. And folks, just like the regular rescues, number one, there's a serious need. There are families that are ruined by divorce. There are teenagers that are ruined by rebellion. Our public schools are besieged with sex and drugs and rock music. Immodesty and immorality are commonplace in our community. There's a serious need. And I want ourselves to ask ourselves today, do I have a sensitive awareness? Do I have a sensitive awareness? Or are we too busy? Too busy with our schedules, too busy with our day timers or our smartphones or our Google Calendar or our Facebook account? Are we too busy to reach out to some people when, folks, we know the answer in this book, the Bible? And just like rescue workers, our training, if you will, makes it so that we are the ones that the Lord is most likely to use to perform a life rescue, a life transformation. We're the ones that are obligated to do it. We have the answer to people's needs. It's salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. It's the new life that He provides. Oh, thousands of people could testify to the new life. Some of you in this room can say, "My life was transformed by Jesus Christ. My family was a wreck. My life was a wreck. My thinking was a mess. And my life has been transformed by Jesus Christ." Hey, you've got the answer. It takes a sensitive awareness if the Lord's going to use you and use our church to perform some life rescues in this community. But every rescue not only requires a serious need and a sensitive awareness, it requires sacrificial action. And folks at Bethel Baptist Church, I want to say today that we've got to get serious about sharing the good news, the gospel of Jesus Christ in this book, with the people of our city. Oh, there's some risk involved. You'll risk being unappreciated. And as I said, one of the greatest hurts is ungratefulness. And you'll have people say, "Oh, we don't want that religious stuff." Or, "Don't be pushing your religion on me." But folks, if somebody's house was burning and you were knocking at their door and they said, I'm sleeping, leave me alone." No, you don't understand. Your house is on fire. You don't understand. Now, I'm not saying to be obnoxious in presenting the gospel. But folks, we got to get serious about it. And it does require some sacrificial action. Will you plan your schedule around the rescue of souls and lives through the good news of God's Word? Christian friend, there are people and families across Northport that need a spiritual rescue. Daily rescues are needed. And then my last application is this. The greatest rescue of all time has the same characteristics. The greatest rescue of all time, because number one, mankind has a serious need. That serious need revolves around our souls. Because heaven is a real place. Heaven is a wonderful place. Matter of fact, it's wonderful because of the presence of God and the total absence of sin. But guys and girls, realize that heaven is so wonderful that none of us deserve to go there on our own. Because all of us are sinners. You say, preacher, what do you say we're all sinners for? The Bible says it. Romans 3:23 says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. We've all done wrong. And if we're trying to get to heaven on our own, we can't make it. Just like someone who needs help from the EMTs cannot rescue himself. And that child or person trapped in the burning building needs the guy with the axe to break his way through. They cannot rescue themselves. And the same way, we cannot rescue ourselves by trying to be good, going to church, doing good things, because we still have sin. And the Bible says, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. And God can't allow any sin in His presence. Heaven is so wonderful that none of us, me included, deserve to go there. So I say, well, you got to be good enough. No, Galatians 2:16 in the Bible says, by the works of the law, no man is justified. And if you kept all the commandments in this law, you couldn't be justified. Because you know what? You can't keep them all. You can't keep them all. We are sinners by our nature. We're born that way. I got four boys. I remember when they were little, we didn't have to teach them how to lie. We had to teach them to tell the truth. We didn't have to teach them how to do wrong. We had to teach them how to do right. Okay, we're born with a sinful nature. The Bible, David himself said, in sin did my mother conceive me. And he was talking about the fact that he was sinful. He was sinful in and of himself. And all of us are born that way. Ever since Adam, we've inherited that sinful nature. We're not only sinners by nature, though, we're sinners by choice. And if we got honest, we'd have to say that we've all done wrong things. Mankind has a serious need. But praise the Lord, because God has a sensitive awareness. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. See, God had a sensitive awareness. He said, these people, I created Adam for fellowship, and I love mankind, but they've departed from me. Mankind has a sensitive need, but God has a serious need, but God has a sensitive awareness. And He loved us. He didn't want us to miss heaven. He didn't make hell for people. The Bible says that hell was created for the devil and his angels. But you know, if we reject God's solution, He has no choice. He doesn't send us to hell. We send ourselves by our sin and by rejecting His solution. But God loved the world so much, He had that sensitive awareness that He sent His only begotten Son, His only Son. I got four sons. I can't imagine sacrificing one of them. Now, I'd be willing for them to be sacrificed for the cause of Christ. I think I'd be willing for them to be sacrificed for the cause of America in the military. I think I'd be willing for them to be we don't know until we come to that time whether we are. We'd like to think we're willing. I think I'd be willing for them to be sacrificed to save the lives of other people as our rescue workers put their lives on the line. I think I'd be willing for that. But God showed His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. We were against Him. We're His enemies, doing things that are directly against Him and His Word. And yet, He loved us enough to send His Son, Jesus Christ, to die for us. He had that sensitive awareness. The Bible says, for when we were yet without strength, in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man, some would even dare to die. But God showed His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. And God's awareness led to a sacrificial action, the giving of His own Son. Now, if I gave my sons for any of those causes, it would not be the same as God giving His Son. Because when Jesus died on that cross, He sacrificed Himself as God the Son. Do you ever wonder why Jesus dying for you is different from somebody else trying to die for you? It's because He was God in the flesh. He at Christmas time was God with us, Emmanuel. He was born in that manger. It's celebrated to this day because God put himself in the form of God the Son into a body and took on flesh like us. So he could live a perfect, sinless life. And when he died, he wasn't dying for his own sin because he didn't have any. He was dying for yours and for mine. Now, Jesus died for everybody. Does that mean everybody's going to heaven? Well, no, you got to be good enough. No, the Bible says it's not by our good deeds. Well, what makes the difference? It's whether we're willing to humbly receive what Jesus did for us as a free gift. Listen to what the Bible says, Romans 6:23, for the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. And the way that we have eternal life in heaven is by receiving the gift, Jesus Christ, receiving Him as our own Savior. Well, why wouldn't somebody want to do that? Because it's humbling. It's humbling to say, I can't save myself. I can't rescue my own soul. I can't be good enough to earn it. I need you, Jesus. There's a lot of people who know about Jesus and they believe in Jesus, but what they're doing is they're trusting Jesus plus their own selves. Their membership, their baptism, their good works, they're treating other people right. And if we're trusting anything along with Jesus, we're not trusting Him alone. The Bible says in Acts 4:12, there is salvation, neither is there salvation in any other name. For there is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. It's only in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now folks, I was in that boat of trusting myself and Jesus. I grew up religious. I knew about Jesus dying on the cross. And I thought, I'm glad He died for me, and if I'm good enough, I'll make it to heaven. And then somebody showed me some things from the Bible, like I'm explaining today. And I realized that I was a sinner. And no matter how good I was, I wasn't going to make it to heaven. And I remember calling on the Lord and asking Him, telling Him I wanted to receive that gift. And the reason I called on Him is because it says in the Bible, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Saved from our sins, saved from the penalty of our sins in hell. Well, we've got to receive Him humbly as our Savior. I talk to some people and they're too proud. They say, no, I'm okay, preacher, I'll make it. You know, I'll be all right. None of us are going to be all right on our own. But we come to Him, and I did it as a boy when I understood this. I don't remember the exact words I said, but something like, Jesus, You died for me. And I'm going to stop trusting myself and put my trust in You. I want You to save me right now. And the Bible says that when you do that, He saves you in that instant. God's righteousness is put on your account. And when God looks at us after that, He doesn't see our own sinful self anymore. He doesn't see Mark Kneedler anymore. He sees His Son, Jesus Christ, and His righteousness. And He says, you're clean. You're on your way to heaven. Now, I'll tell you, there's a great peace that comes over your life when you know you're on your way to heaven, when you're certain of it. But it took a sacrificial action. And let me finish by saying this. Just like in rescue work, the greatest hurt comes from ingratitude over a sacrificial action. And I believe the heart of God hurts when some people say, no, I'm not going to receive Christ as my Savior. I'm just going to try to make it on my own. I'm doing okay. And I think that hurts. I think that hurts the heart of our God. If you've come today and you know the Lord is your Savior, and you're positive you're on your way to heaven like I am, not because we deserve it, but because we did what the Bible said about it, then today, would you realize that sacrificial need and sacrifice yourself to spread that news to other people? And then if you've come today and you're not certain you're on your way to heaven, maybe this is new to you, maybe you've heard it a bunch of times, maybe you're even somehow a member of our church, but you're not positive you're on your way to heaven, would you let the greatest rescue of all be performed for you today? Would you receive the Lord as your Savior?